In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23. Paul is in Jerusalem. When Paul perceived that one part of the group were Sadducees and the other part of the group were Pharisees, they are opposed to each other, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and I have the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and because of it I am called into question." Now the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in spirits, but the rest, Pharisees do. And when he had said this, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. In other words, Paul claims to be a Pharisee, and he is. He was taught by Gamaliel. His father was a Pharisee, and he has the Pharisees and the Sadducees fighting with each other. That's what happens. "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither is there an angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry that the scribes that were of Pharisees arose and strove, saying, 'We find no evil in this man.'" Why? Because he believed as a Pharisee. "But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be pulled out into pieces, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force and bring him into the castle. And that night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified to me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome." Rome was the center of the world at the time, and the Lord speaks to Paul that he's going to speak his witness in Rome. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse," imagine, "saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul." So there is a conspiracy to kill the apostle to the Gentiles. They will not eat or drink until they kill Paul. And they were more than 40, which was part of this conspiracy. "And they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until Paul is slain. But now, therefore, you with the council signify to the chief captain and bring him down unto you tomorrow as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we or ever he may come near and he be ready to be killed. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, 'Bring this young man to the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him.'" Yes, that these people, 40 of them, are under a curse unless they kill Paul, and they're not going to eat until Paul is dead. "So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, 'Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed to bring this young man unto thee for something to say to thee.' Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, 'What is it that you want to tell me?' And he said, 'The Jews have agreed to desire you that you would bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they were to inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not yield unto them, for they lie in wait for Paul and more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee.' And the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, 'See that no man that you have showed these things to me, do not tell this to anybody else.' So Paul will be shipped to Caesarea by the Mediterranean. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and the horsemen 70, that'd be 70 horsemen, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe into Felix the governor. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed by them. Then came I and the army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. They had no right to hit him or to beat him because he was a Roman citizen. He did not buy his citizenship. He was born into it. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accuse him, I brought him forth into the council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of the law, but to have nothing laid in his charge worthy of death or of bonds. In other words, there's nothing that he's saying that is worthy of death. Nothing that he's saying is worthy of death. So what does Felix do? Felix sends Paul to Agrippa. Agrippa is the king. Felix was the governor. And so we say, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. This is what the Jews are saying to Agrippa, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, which isn't true, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us with great violence and took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining whom thyself may take knowledge of all these things that we accuse him of. What do they accuse him of? They accuse him that he's changing the law of Israel, that he has desecrated the temple. It's all lies. It's all lies. And the Jews also asserted, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, and answered, forasmuch I know that you have been many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that you may understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things that they accuse me of. But this I confess unto thee, that the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. In other words, they are saying that Paul, because he believes in the resurrection, that he's a heretic. So most of these people are Sadducees. And I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. That's what the Pharisees believed, that there would be a resurrection of the dead, of the just and unjust. We believe in the same thing. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they ought against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council. In other words, there's nothing to find in Paul. He's done nothing wrong, except to be this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. In other words, this is what we believe. And I'm telling you that Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus died and he's living. He is the resurrection and the life. But Paul is being put on put on the spigots because he believes in the resurrection. He also believes that Jesus is the resurrection. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. So Paul is like on a house arrest, but people can come and visit him. People can come and pray with him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season. I will call you in a convenient season." He hoped also that money should have been given him by Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Now when Festus had come down to the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against Paul, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly from there. "Let them therefore," said he, "also among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him." You see, they're finding no wickedness in Paul. They're finding no wickedness. The only wickedness is that he believes in the resurrection and that Jesus is the resurrection. And they're arresting him in a house arrest where people can come and minister to him and he can minister to them. And Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly. "Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." But there's no wickedness to be found in Paul. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought in. And when he had come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem, remember, these are the Jews that want him dead, these are the Jews that aren't eating, they must be very hungry, stood around about and laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Just like they did with Jesus. They laid many insults against Jesus and complaints against Jesus, and they couldn't prove him. While he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all." So Paul says, "I've not offended the temple, I've not offended Caesar, I've not offended the Jews. That's not what I'm about. I'm about the resurrection of the dead." But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Will you go up to Jerusalem and there be judged these things before me?" Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged." In other words, I want to go to Rome. "To the Jews have I done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." So the whole point of the matter is that Paul wants to go from Caesarea to Rome. The Lord told him that he was going to Rome. What do you think Paul wants to do in Rome? Take a guess. He wants to witness to Caesar. He wants to tell him about how he was converted. He wants to tell him that on the road to Damascus, the glory of God came upon him. He wants to tell him that he was a persecutor of the Christians and how he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and how his life was changed. Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To Jews have I done no wrong, as you already know. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things wherefore these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. I want to go to Rome. I want to preach in Rome. I want to witness in Rome. When Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go." In other words, you're going to Rome. We're going to send you to Rome. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king Agrippa, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. Before that, he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him." In other words, let the accusers come, but let Paul have his words against the accusers. "Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay, on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation of such things as I supposed." In other words, they were talking about religious things. Festus isn't into it. He's saying, this is for you people to judge. This man does not deserve death. He did nothing wrong. He believes in the resurrection. He did absolutely nothing wrong. Now you people have to deal with that reality. But they had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. In other words, Paul spoke of the crucifixion, and Paul spoke that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. And when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the healing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. It is the will of Paul that he go to Caesar and that he would witness to the pagan king. He gets to Rome, but he never gets to Caesar. But I will tell you one thing. He gets to Caesar's house, and there are converts in Caesar's house. How that happened, I don't know. But Paul wants to bring his charge to Caesar. And when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa, the king, said unto Festus, the governor, "I would also want to hear this man myself tomorrow." And he said, "Tomorrow you shall hear him." And on the morrow, or the next day, when Agrippa had come, and Bernice with great pomp entered into the place, hearing the chief captains and principal men of the city that Festus commanded, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man," his name is Paul, "about whom all the multitude of Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem, crying that he ought not to live any longer." The Jews want him dead, especially the Sadducees, because he believes in the resurrection. He not only believes in the resurrection, he knows who the resurrection is. They are plotting against his life. They put themselves under a curse. They said, "We will not eat until we have killed this man." But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. Send him where? Send him to Caesar, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have been brought forth before you, and specially before you, O King Agrippa, that after examination I might have found nothing to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. There's no crimes. There's no crimes. It's all religious crimes. And they're not crimes at all. They're what the Pharisees believed. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all things wherefore I am accused by the Jews, especially because I know you to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation of Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straight sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. So he's witnessing. He's witnessing before King Agrippa. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God unto our fathers. What is that promise? That there would be a resurrection. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Hope's sake in the resurrection. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He talks about his persecution of the Christians. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even into strange cities. So Paul is giving his witness. You know, it's so important that we give our witness to people, what God has done for us, when God changed our hearts, when the Lord opened us to his Spirit. It's very important that we tell people that. Oh yes, it was the last Sunday in August 1968 when I was bereft of anything, and I said to the Lord, you're just like everybody else. I come here to seek your face, and what do? You hide from me. With that, the Lord said to me, rest. And I got on the carpet, and I rested. And then I opened my eyes, and in front of the Blessed Sacrament were wildflowers, and they were in the glory of God. I saw more than wildflowers. I saw what they did. And the Lord looked at me and said, do you see these flowers, how much glory they give me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, how much more glory can you give me? I said, much, Lord. I had no idea giving God glory. I had no idea. I was a sixth grade teacher. I had no idea. Let's go to Paul's conversion. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, they fell under the power of the resurrection, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goad. And I said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. So we see the Lord tells him he will become the apostle to the Gentiles. He will go about proclaiming the cross of Jesus Christ. He will go about the Gentiles, but before he goes to the Gentiles, he always goes to the synagogue, and he presents Jesus to the people in the synagogue. Usually he gets a few converts, but many times they throw him out of the synagogue. Sometimes they even stoned him. We saw that a couple of days ago. After they stoned Paul, he was on the ground, and they formed a circle around him, and the power of God came upon Paul. This is Acts 26. You read it for yourself. Paul's witness before the Jews and the Gentiles. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It is Paul's desire to go to Rome and to witness to Caesar. They had no right to beat him because he was a Roman citizen. And off to Rome he goes. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.